But the picture on the right reminds us how important it is to live for Christ, to learn to live for Christ in the whole of our life. Because if we only live for Christ in church, it's just a fraction of who we are. So we need to learn to live for Christ in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, and so on. So, because we're salt and light. So those are the pictures I use. But in a way, I want to sort of reconfigure those this morning a little bit and picture those with respect to our churches. I'll explain what I mean as I go along. So, there we are. Who was here in 2008? Put your hand up. 12 years ago? Oh, not that many. Who's come since 2008? I know it's everyone else, yeah. Okay, just wanted a visual indication. So, here we are in 2008. One red dot, yeah? In a big area. One red dot. And we were very full. We were stretching into the hall and onto the window seats. I laugh because that's what was happening this morning as well. But some of the front seats were empty. But anyway, so... We were regularly 240, 245 on a Sunday morning. We were struggling to fit in. So much so, some of you will remember, we had a rota for house groups to spend a week on the balcony to make space for newcomers. Because nobody wants to come into a new church, do they, and they can't find a seat. So we had a house group rota. So we knew that something had to change. And two things happened in quick succession. The first one is we planted BCC in 2009. It was 2009, I hope. Now, I just need to say, we did not plant BCC to resolve our overcrowding issue here. That was the result of a number of years of a sense of God's leading and prayerfulness. But actually, it was in 2009 that BCC was planted, at the back end of that year. And that was wonderful. And I put the red dot where they meet now, which is the Barton Neighbourhood Centre. Okay, so we were one red dot, now we're two, which is lovely, and we're scattered, look. But then, the following year, 2010, we were still very full in here, so we moved to two morning services. Who went to the 9:30? Anyone went to that? Yeah, and who went to the 11:15? Oh, okay. Yeah, the newer ones can work that out. So we went to two morning services around that time, in 2010. But then, in 2014, we planted Northway Church at 5. We'd been working for many years with the historic church there, supporting them, and we actually planted a sort of an evening congregation in that building, and working in good relationship with the morning congregation. And that was 2014. So the dots are growing, as you can see. And then, around that time, around the same time, we realized that we had between 25 and 30 people coming in here from Wheatley. And that just felt not quite right. You know, you've got literally sort of 30 people driving those 4 miles from here to come to worship. And so we began conversations with them and prayer. And it felt right for them to join with other Christians in Wheatley who attended lots of different churches to all get together and to form a new church called Wheatley Community Church, which is not there, but it's in that direction. Now, it won't surprise you to hear that having sent with our blessing a lot of people to BCC, and 15 or 20 to Northway, and then 25 to 30 to Wheatley, we were a little bit smaller. And that's why in 2015, we moved back to a single morning service, and that's where we're at now. I share that because I'm not going to go back through the slides, but that one dot at the beginning, we were all crammed in. We had all this sort of potential, and people were coming from the surrounding areas. And now, by God's grace, there are churches. There's not one a church in one location. We have 4 here. 2 of them we've planted. Wheatley, we just release them with our blessing. But this is what God has done. And it's great, isn't it? It's very exciting. It's also why some of us are a bit tired at times. But it's been a wonderful 12 years of God working and bringing blessing. And so this morning, what I'm going to do now is actually invite up, first of all, Judy. I'm going to interview Judy, and come on up, Judy, and find out a bit about what is happening at BCC. Off, Ken. There we go. Thank you. That's not nice. We've only been talking for 8 minutes. Judy, could you tell us a bit about yourself? Yeah, so tell us a bit about yourself and how you came to be involved with BCC.
Yeah. My name's Judy, and I moved to Barton in Oxford about 10 years ago, so April 2010. And initially to be part of what was called a Thrive team, and we still have a Thrive team working in Barton to do youth work in the community. And I suppose my story started a bit before that, a few years before then, when I spent some time in Africa, in Kenya, and I was with an organisation called Tear Fund, and I guess in those months I just really felt God calling me to this kind of work, to working in areas that are more disadvantaged, to start thinking about, I guess, the gospel in a very different way, and it's supposed to be much broader and bigger than just about our kind of spiritual life, but about, I started to realise that God cares about the poor and about injustice and suffering, and I started thinking about these things, and then heard about the opportunity to work in Barton from a guy called Andy Shaw Rogers, who some of you might know, and I just thought, yeah, why not come to Oxford?
Okay. So Barton has existed for, 11 or so years, but how have the past 2 or 3 years been?
So our church today looks very different to what it did in 2010 when we started it. So June 2010 is when Sunday at 5 first launched, and I mean, we still look quite chaotic, but less chaotic than we did in 2010. So then we had lots of teenagers and kids and young people coming, and we did lots of kind of community stuff and practical stuff and arts and crafts and a little bit about God. And now we kind of look a little bit more like what you might think of when you think of church when you walk in. You know, we sing, we have a talk. And in the last few years, it's been amazing to see kind of kids' work start. And even this month, in fact, we've been able to start a group for teenagers and young people. So we're really in a season of much more stability, which is definitely thanks to Paul, our minister, who has come and been with us for the past 2.5 years. And that's really helped us kind of consolidate what we're doing and grow. And we've seen people who've become Christians as part of our story and our journey start actually being involved in leading stuff in the church, which is amazing because that was part of our original vision, was that we would see people, Indigenous people in the community and in Barton, become Christians and then become part of leading the church. And some of you will know a guy called Patrick, who's been with us right from, he was like 11 years old. And to see him now leading our prayer weekends, speaking from the front, leading youth groups is amazing. And that's what we do it for, really.
Great. Do you want to tell us some of the ways you're reaching into the community at the moment?
I've got Robin Peake's voice in my ear telling me the things I have to not forget to say, so that's why I wrote some things down to make sure I say things. So we started a food bank recently, which runs on a Monday and a Wednesday out of the Hub, and the Hub is the kind of permanent space which we now have in the community centre, which is incredible to have that space. And that kind of acts like a drop-in, so people come in, can get food, can kind of chat to people, and often have then ended up coming to church because of that. So that's a big part of our kind of presence in the community during the week. We also have our community lunch, which runs once a month, which is really just for anyone to come, families from the estate, to come and eat together. There's crafts for the kids, there's activities, we have a quiz. And again, it's another easy access, easy point for people to get to know people from the church. But you might think most of what we do is kind of all the activity that happens on a Sunday, but really the heart of what we're about is this whole aspect of living in the neighbourhood and incarnational ministry. And it's why lots of us have moved our lives into that estate, because we care about the people there and the issues that some of them face. And so most of the heart of what we do is actually just living in that place and kind of making our homes there, kids going to school there. Erica, who's part of our church, is on the board of governors in Bayards. And so most of the time during the week, I'm maybe taking people to do a food shop or meeting up with young people who I used to work with, taking them now to baby groups because they've got their own kids, helping them whenever they run out of electricity or they're struggling financially, and all of that, just being friends with people and being that kind of support network for people.
Mm. And what challenges are you facing?
Lots of challenges. The biggest one for us, I guess, in BCC is resourcing, and that's we're a small team trying to do loads of stuff. There's massive need in that community in terms of deprivation and disadvantage, and we're a really small team, and we do a lot, and lots of us have young families, and we have loads of other things that we're trying to do in terms of work, and so it's hard at times to be able to kind of do all the things that we want to do, and so we're always looking for more people who have a passion for this kind of stuff to join us, whether that's living in the area and being part of our church, or even just to come. I know some in this congregation come once a month and help us to wash dishes, and to help us at our community lunch, and that's a massive help to us, just being able to do that, coming every so often to help us with some of the stuff that we do. And then also resourcing financially. We're nowhere near the stage where we're financially independent, and that's, you know, a lot of that is because of the nature of the families that come to our church. And so finances is always an issue, and thinking about how we can become financially stable. One of the highlights of our year is always our weekend away, and that picture is what we look like now as a church. And we take about 60 people away every year on the bank holiday weekend. We've been to the Isle of Wight, we've been to Wales, and for some of the families in our church, that's the only holiday they go on. And there's a guy called Kenny who comes to our church. And when we went to Aberystwyth Beach last year, that was the first time he'd been to the beach in 30 years. So it's a big thing that we do. And all of that, it costs money. And so, yeah, finances, resources, and then also just the challenges of working in that kind of area.
So how can we be praying for you?
Pray for people to come and join us, who have time and energy and gifts, that could help us and boost our team. Pray for finances, and also just pray for the leadership team as we have an away day coming up where we're going to go and be thinking about kind of the next kind of 5 years and what our focus is, and also just thinking about leadership and the sustainability of the church. And just pray for individuals who come to our church. Pray for those who have, you know, we've got a lot of guys who've been part of our church for almost 10 years now who sort of love being part of family and community but haven't quite made that commitment yet. And we'd love you to pray for them that God would really break through and really kind of help them to move on in their relationship with him.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Judy. And we will take a moment to pray in a few moments. Thank you. And We have another. Do you want to put your hand up if you're associated with the Barton Church, James and Marion, and Hilary through Thrive, and yeah, Roger and Liz, and yeah, and Sue, you're helping with the food bank. Is your hand up, Sue? Okay. So we have a number of people here and resourcing that church, which is wonderful, and may that continue. Well, I'm going to invite up Jess and Federico. You bring the children. Yeah, so Joy and Coralina are coming. I have to warn you, Federico has a bit of a cheeky sense of humour. A bit like I used to have before I became a Baptist minister and had to get all serious. So, Federico and Jess, we have our weekend away coming next week. If you remember, they hosted a weekend away for us probably 4 or 6 years ago. I'm not sure which it was, but four, okay. So, Federico, you're going to share a few words about Super Dads, and then, Jess, you're going to share more generally. Yeah, so there you are.
Thank you. I like how Italian immigrants are not asked to say anything about themselves, to start with. First of all, I'm very glad we're back. We had been here for quite a few years before moving down to Northway. I was so excited this morning that I put on a new pair of trousers. Jess didn't allow me to leave the sticker on them, but I promise that they're new. So anyhow, she's so cute. So yes, in 2017, in January, was the first Super Dads event. That was started because the council was stopping supporting Saturday monthly or weekly events for dads. And at the beginning, it was four of us. There was a German, Toby Vocal, and a Scotsman, Steve Harris. And to compensate for their fun, we had an Australian, Rod Cameron, who was there. And we thought, for organizational reasons, we needed an Italian. So I joined also. Then Toby left, and we replaced him with another German to maintain continuity. Ian. Still too boring, we were joined by a Brazilian, Flavio. And ever since we've run this event monthly, it's on the second Saturday of the month, and we do have a risk assessment in terms of reference, a constitution, and every 2 months we send a finance report that keeps John Dalderfield happy. Over these years, we've had 400 visits, 160 adults. It's not just the four of us who went back and forth 100 times. That was not the joke, actually. 160 adults and 240 kids, also known as children. And we were given a grant from the county council with which we developed an outside area and bought lots of toys for the children, not for the adults. And we have regular monthly events. We've had the Oxford University Museums coming along. We went to the Botanical Gardens. We had the fire service. We have people from the immunology department. And we had the best event, the most attended one, it's one in June, where the police came along just to show us their things, not because we're allowed. And that was joined with the weekly term time Scallywags group, which is a mum's group mostly. And then sometime in the year, we have one of the best events for bikes because Andrew Johnson, the mechanic sitting over there, comes along to fix lots of bikes. The best individual who attended arrived in a car with three bikes on their roof. And we were helped at times by Emma Steen and Stuart Donaldson from here to do some cooking. And that's the summary. And so yes, we're grateful for the support we get from Haddington Baptist Church. And next event is the second Saturday in February, if you or the children want to come along. Thank you.
Lovely, thank you. Jess, do you want to share?
Not nearly as funny.
So Northway Church at 5, we meet at 5 in the evening, per the name. And then at 6 o'clock, someone makes dinner and we all have a meal together. It can be a little bit, a lot of work to make the meal, but it's really enjoyable. We have some time to sit and chat and really get to know each other, which also helps when we have new people. Some of our outreach includes a Saturday afternoon cafe, which is the third Saturday of the month. And it's a really nice event where people can invite folks from the community, some families from Scallywags, the toddler group come. And it's just been a nice way to build relationship within the community. Because of that, we've been attracting some of the families from Scallywags and from Super Dads. They've been coming and joining us, as well as some of the older folks that come into the Saturday afternoon cafe. And we're starting to get a little bit closer to the morning congregation as well. When this all started, the goal was to become one church, one charity with the morning service. And we're getting a lot closer to that. I think the Saturday afternoon cafe, which we do with them, we run with them, has helped a lot, as well as some of these events like the Scallywag Super Dads barbecue has really helped build our relationship with the morning congregation.
Yeah. Lovely. Anything else? No, that is great. So, right. Just, well, thank you. Shall we give them a clap? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. For those of you who remember Dan Evenhouse, I stand to do a little video to bring news from Wheatley, because a lot's been happening at Wheatley Community Church. But in the end, I thought because of time, we'd invite Dan in person one Sunday so he can share a little bit of news from Wheatley. So, what I'd like us to do now is to take a few moments to pray. We have here, as I've added Wheatley on top right there, Northway, Barton, Wheatley, HBC. By the way, who here is involved with Northway Church at 5? Dave? Yes. VDB Stewart? Yeah? Half? Okay. So we have people in the room who are connected in a very real way, even a week-to-week way with these churches. But let's pray for our outreach and for their outreach. Okay, so if you're new here, I know it's a bit strange to be thrown into a little prayer group with people around you. Please feel free to participate, or if you'd rather just sit quietly, that's absolutely fine. But for all who are willing and able, could you just pray in small groups again for what we've heard from Judy and from the Fermentis about their churches. And also let's pray for Wheatley. They have a new minister, just started, Al Nichols. They're in a newish venue because they've grown too big for the Mary Bells where they were before. So it's very exciting for them. And let's pray for ourselves as we head towards the summer and hopefully to a period where we do some outreach together. Okay, so can we just pray, please? That'd be great. Amen. That's great. Just want to wrap things up really by just saying a few words about the importance of sharing the good news that we have in Jesus with those around us as we are scattered as a group of churches. And when you read the Bible from Genesis 3 verse 8 to Revelation chapter 20, which is pretty much the whole of the Bible, it is a story of mission. Please note, it's not the story of our mission to reach God. It's a story of God's mission to reach us, isn't it? It's God's mission to reach us. And we see in the Bible that every page is about mission, and that mission is the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But it's also a mission that he invites us to. Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, not the great suggestion, not the take it or leave it sort of bolt on of the Christian faith. It's the commission. We have been commissioned to go and teach and baptize so that we might make disciples. That's our commission, to make disciples by going, baptizing, and teaching. And so I want to finish with these 3 points fairly briefly. The first one is we need to be true to the gospel. Secondly, we need to be true to ourselves. And also we need to be true to others. So, be true to the gospel. This task of outreach into our communities, it brings us back to the very heart of the Christian faith, doesn't it? We're not social workers. Some of our work may involve that kind of thing. And that's right, because, you know, it's right to be meeting practical needs in our communities. That's a Christian thing to do. But it does also draw us back to that fundamental question of who is Jesus and why did he come to this earth? What is his life, death and resurrection about? And we have lots of verses in the Bible that tell us of the uniqueness of Jesus. And I don't, as you probably noticed, I don't really tire of showing these because they're so fundamental. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then Acts 4, 12, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to us by which we must be saved. So Jesus is unique. He's unique because of who he is. He is both God and human, but he's also unique because of what he has done. What he has done on the cross. And we have this wonderful cross here. It's right at the center, and it should be, because the cross is essential for our salvation. You remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed earnestly, if it's possible, take this cup from me. This cup of suffering. He prays it literally hours before he's going to be crucified. And there was no answer from heaven, because that was the way. The only way. And we need to be so clear on this. We need to be utterly persuaded and convinced that the cross of Christ is the only way for our salvation to be won. If you lack conviction about that, and I think it's very easy for us to lack conviction because actually that's not what the world is telling us, I would encourage you to meditate on it. Some of you may have crosses at home or pictures of crosses, or you may just want to imagine a cross. But take some time this week, while you're washing the dishes or while you're driving the car or just quietly in your room, and meditate on a cross or the cross and ask the Spirit to show you what that means. It's not peripheral, it's absolutely central. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 here, "For what I received I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." The first thing of first importance is Christ's death for us. This week, those of us on the leadership team, we're chatting. Our minds are beginning to turn to Easter and to the summer, and we're chatting about the challenges we face in our culture of sharing the gospel. And there are many challenges there, aren't there? We can try to talk about sin, but our culture is humanist. And it regards humans as essentially good. And it's seen as very backward to suggest that there might be something that a little bit wrong at times with us. That's just not accepted today. We can talk about God being the judge of the living and the dead, which it's clear from Scripture he is. But although people welcome human judges and they welcome the judicial system, people really do not welcome a divine judge. We could talk about Jesus being the only way to God, but people say, well, that's very arrogant and exclusivist. We could talk about the truth we found in Christ, and people say, well, yeah, that's great. That's your truth, and that's personal to you. That's subjective. It's relative. And this is my truth. Isn't it great? We both got truth. No truth with a capital T. We could talk about the spiritual void in people's lives, and people say, well, I have a spirituality. I've got all sorts of things I do. I feed the spiritual side of me. But Christ doesn't feature in their spirituality. You know, so the challenge for us is immense, really, because God calls us to be faithful to the gospel that he's given to us. He also calls us to communicate that gospel in a way that is going to genuinely connect with our culture and be winsome and be understandable. And that's what we face. And I hope as we run into Easter, maybe we will be able to explore what it means to be sharing Christ in what is, I think, a fairly hostile climate at the moment. But we should also remember that the church throughout history has very often had to make a stand for Christ, which has been difficult. We're not in something new here. You know, we're not being taken off to the Roman Colosseum. It's not as hard as we think. But there is a challenge because this world is often hostile to God's truth. And I believe that surely the greatest achievement the devil could ever manage would be to take the cross of Christ out of our message. Would it not? Would that not be his greatest achievement? To just persuade us in subtle ways, to cajole us into just get rid of that bit and talk in different terms. So let's remain faithful to the gospel. Some of you have got this on your wrist right now. Can anyone shout out what they mean? God loves us. Yeah, I have sinned, yeah. Yeah, and what's that, Susan? What are you going to do about it? So this is a very modern way that's been used to share the gospel, isn't it? It's very faithful to what the gospel is. Secondly, we need to be true to ourselves. In Scripture, there are many different ways in which people share the gospel. You've got someone like Peter, you know, very pointy-fingered Peter. You know, Acts 2, you killed the Lord of glory. You know, it's very in your face. But then you've got Paul. Paul could be a bit like that as well, but Paul was often very good at arguing, reasoning, persuading, probably make a good apologist. He lectured, we're told, for 2 years in the hall of Tyrannus, persuading people about the truth of Christ. So you got your Paul types. You've also got that people who just have a testimony. I say just, it's a very big just. That man born blind in John 9, remember him? And Jesus healed him, and then the religious leaders, they're cross-examining him. You know, who is this Jesus? And he said, What did he say? He said, whether this man is of God or not, I do not know, but what I do know is that before I was blind, but now I see. He just had his testimony. Actually, he was a lot more clever than that, wasn't he, really? Then you have people who were really good at inviting others, like the Samaritan woman in John 4. She said to everyone in her town, come and meet this man who told me everything I ever did. Or Andrew, when he meets Jesus, the first thing he does is he goes and grabs his brother Peter to meet Jesus. And then you got Tabitha, who was known for her acts of service to the poor. You know, the point is, there's no one right way of sharing the gospel. It's not that, you know, you need to be an extrovert to share the gospel. We're different people. We've got different characters and personalities. We need to share the gospel in a way that is true to who we are. But the point is, we do need to share it. And then, finally, we need to be true to others. What do I mean by to be true to others? Well, this could mean many things, couldn't it? But the thing I want to pick out here is, I believe to be true to others, we need to recognize what their first and foremost need is. What is their most important need? And I believe that is to be in a living and loving relationship with the God who made them and loves them. To be in a joyful relationship with God. That is their greatest need, whether they know it or not. Yeah? Forgiveness of sin is not their greatest need. Now, hear me carefully when I say that. Forgiveness of sin is important, but it's a means to an end. Forgiveness of sin. Sin is the obstacle that gets in the way of us getting to that relationship. So we can't ignore the obstacle, but it's not the thing. The thing is this new life, this relationship that God offers us in Christ. And that's how we get past it. That's how we get forgiven, so we can enjoy the righteousness of God and relationship with God. So if we lead with people today, you are a sinner. If you are a sinner is our first word, I think we're kind of missing the point. We can't not talk about that. But our greatest need is to be in a living relationship with God. Let me finish with these words from John 3. Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Nicodemus was a deeply religious man. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council, deeply religious. Jesus says to this man, you must be born again. I'm sure he was a good man. I'm sure he had a great standing in his community. But Jesus said, you must be born again. And I think there has to come a point, if we're going to be true to others, there has to come a point in our relationships with others where we share something of Christ with them. I hope we can do it all the time through the way we live, through our actions. But actions, although they are good, they need to be accompanied at some point by words. So to be true to others, at some point we need to share who Jesus is with them, what he has done for us, and what he would love to do for them. Yeah? So, oh, Andy, sorry. It's my last slide. Can you go to my last slide? It's my last sentence as well, for that matter. So, we need to, in all this outreach, in Headington and Barton, Northway, and even in Wheatley, let's make sure, Andy, don't worry, that we are true to the gospel. Oh, please don't go through the whole lot. Can you skip to the last slide? Oh, the tie, the one with the three headings on, or not. Okay, fine, leave it. True to the gospel, true to ourselves and true to others. Let me just pray briefly. Father, Lord, we recognize we are in a battle. Lord, we're in a battle for truth, and we're in a battle to show the life that you bring to us, to this world. And Father, we, Lord, commit ourselves to you this morning, and we pray that Heavenly Father, you will give us a profound understanding of what Jesus has achieved for us at the cross and the necessity of that. Lord, give us a sense of acceptance as to who we are and who you've made us to be, and that you don't call us to become someone else, but you call us to share in the way that's true to us. And Father, we, Lord, we pray for those around us. I'm just going to leave a moment for us to think of those people who touch our lives that we maybe have been praying for or sharing with, and just bring them to the Lord Jesus in prayer. Father, we bring this sea of names and faces to you. And we pray, Lord, that you will break through into their lives with your truth, with your reality. Lord, may your spirit work alongside them and strive with them. And Lord, use us, show us those opportunities. Lord, even in this coming week, perhaps even tomorrow, Lord, that there might be moments where we are prompted by you, and we know it's that moment to say something, to share something. Lord, help us to be that light you've called us to be, the light of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.